Hey, this is Jay.
And Aaron.
And Richard.
And we're the VCR Kids. We watch movies from our childhood and we see if they still hold up. And this week, we have a very special guest. We just recorded an episode with her for her podcast, and now she's on our show. It is Miss Katie Black. How you doing, Katie?
What's up, guys? I'm great.
Katie, you've been with us before on, I believe it was Life Size. Is that the name of it?
Yes.
With Tyra Banks as a Barbie, essentially.
And Lindsay Lohan.
I forgot Lindsay Lohan was in that movie.
Wow.
Shine bright, shine far. Be a star. Where you live, where you are, be a star. And I sound probably just as good as Tyra Banks.
Well, now we are having you back with a much different movie. This is still October, so we're doing our scary movies. And this week we are watching The Ring. Now, Katie, you mentioned that you used to be obsessed with The Ring. Would you like to fill us in a little bit on that obsession?
So I was like a freshman, I believe, in high school, and I went to see it in the theater. And I remember I went to like, not even a nighttime movie, like a 4 o'clock. And I guess I went in there with like no expectations, which I always feel is the best way to go in, with something very Buddhism. And just walked out of there like mind blown, mind very scary, just a shock to the system.
I feel like high school was like the perfect age to watch this in, like the perfect time period, right? Because it was like still on VHS, but like VHS were like starting to become obsolete. And so it was kind of like, it had this like aura of like somewhat age to it, I guess. And then I just remember every single person in high school, because I did not see it when it came out. I probably saw it like 2 or 3 years after it came out. But I just remember every single person being like talking about it nonstop when it came out. Like everyone I knew saw it. Everyone was talking about it all the time. What about you guys, Aaron and Richard? Did you see it when it came out, or was it later?
No, I don't think I saw it until I was like way older, because I was not allowed, and like none of my little church friends watched it really.
I definitely remember watching this and loving it. I've still never seen the Japanese original. Was it Ringu? I still haven't seen that, and I think this led to a whole string of like remakes of Asian horror films, because it was so successful at the box office. This is Naomi Watts in 2002, the year before she had done Mulholland Drive. So
yeah, you might want to be careful with that, Richard, because I think that's what I said when we were talking. Well, and I've not triple checked that fact. So well,
I did double check your saying that it's on the Wikipedia page. It paved the way for English language remakes of Asian horror films, such as The Grudge, Dark Water, Pulse, on and on.
There you go.
We have seen this director before on the podcast.
Who's the director?
Gore Verbinski. He was the guy who did Mouse.
Oh, Mouse Hunt?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was a funny movie, I think. How long ago did we watch Mouse Hunt? And I feel the same way about it now, this far removed for the podcast, as when I did when we did it for the podcast. Like, I can't remember if it's a good movie or not.
Just go back and re-listen.
True.
Were you actually spooked, this movie, Katie? Was it scary for you?
I was. And I also, too, am a person that I don't really like. I love scary movies, but I don't like blood and guts and gore and knife that much. And so this was just all like kind of this unspoken, like creepy, like what is this? Like what is going on here?
I feel like horror movies went through a shift. Like in the 70s, 80s, 90s, it was more like slasher, gore, kind of that sort of horror. And then like somewhere around here, we started doing more spiritual or supernatural horror. Like they took it back to like when The Exorcist was popular. Like obviously there were several like movies that were like spiritual movies, like The Exorcist and the
Rosemary's Baby.
And now I just had it in my Amityville Horror and like that, but it wasn't like the constant pulse of what was being put out, you know. I feel like that was more like slasher horror, like you had like Texas Chainsaw, like Freddy Krueger, like all that kind of thing.
Right.
So I haven't seen this in a really long time, but I remember there's something. So from what I remember, they watch this tape and it's like a really freaky tape. And then after they get the tape, then they get a phone call, right?
You will die in 7 days.
Yeah. And I remember having friends who were like, they watched that movie and then they were like, and then they got the phone call as soon as the movie was over and they were like so freaked out and stuff. I was like, it really got people. Like it was like a big moment. I think like, I don't know because I wasn't an adult then, but I think like in high school culture, like it was a really big moment, I think.
Yeah. And then.
This is the perfect movie for us. It's a VCR is the.
Yeah, that's true. Thing,
and we're the VCR kids, so there you go.
Now we're all going to die in 7 days after we watch it.
7 days from now, baby.
And the girl from the, I think like the last scene is like a girl like in the well and like the ring is like the water in the well, like the light making like this circle shape. Isn't that right? Am I thinking mm-hmm. about that right? And then she like climbs out of it and gets you. But I think that like type of ghost, like, you know, the girl with like the long hair that like covers the face. I think that's like a very, like, I think it's like one of the archetypes of Asian ghosts. You know what I mean? Like that's like a kind of a ghost that they have in like a lot of cultures. Like, cause I think like the building I worked at in Korea, they said there was one of like a student who like committed suicide in an elevator shaft, and like that probably never happened, but like they were like, oh, you can see her in the hair. Like I think it's just like a thing.
I did go to a haunted house one time in Korea, and it was mostly like characters like that. It's weird. Didn't like it.
And I think too, like I think there's like a different level, because isn't the video like in black and white, if I remember correctly?
Maybe like it, I remember it being pretty feedbacky. Like there was also something with like faces being blurred out. Was that in the movie or was that in?
I don't know. I don't remember it very well.
I just remember like a horse in a mirror and like, I don't know, like someone like doing their hair with like a horse, maybe. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Wasn't there like a horse drowning? I really have not seen this since 2002. So,
okay. So I just like Googled it a little bit. It's
look it up, Aaron. We're going to watch the movie.
No. The Korean ghost, like what I was talking about, is a, I'm going to say this wrong. Chonyo Gwishin, means a virgin girl ghost. They are typically seen wearing a white hanbok called a sobok and are usually worn during death. They're characterized by their long black hair. Due to the fact that in tradition stated that single women should wear their hair up. So like that's why they have like the long hair in front. So there you go.
And just for the record, this was originally a Japanese movie.
Yeah, but clear. I'm just saying like that's like, I was like, I think that's like familiar like in Asian culture. Like I think I've heard this, like, and I looked it up and I was like, literally when I was looking at the picture on the article, I was like, that looks like the girl from The Ring. So like there is something similar in Korean culture, and it's called something different because Japan and Korea are different.
Well, this movie is not, I mean, it was a remake of a Japanese movie, but the movie itself, the ghost isn't Japanese, right? Like it's like totally, I guess, American.
I don't know. I don't know. Because I think...
Yeah, she looked kind of waterlogged.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know what race she was. I don't.
Maybe I'm getting this movie mixed up with The Grudge, but like I know that there's like an Asian characters in The Grudge. So I don't know.
Honestly, too, I'm also going to, like, did you guys ever see Scary Movie 3 where they, like, make a pun of it throughout?
I honestly think that was, like, my first intro to this. Before I actually, like, saw this movie, I saw that. Yeah.
My favorite joke that came from this was in Community when they had their Halloween episode. And Jeff and Annie wanted to do a couple's costume. So Jeff came as a boxer. And then Annie came as the ring girl, but she came as the girl from the ring. Anyway, you guys ready to watch this movie?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
All right, so we are going to watch The Ring and get all spooked out, and we will talk to y'all in a little bit. Oh, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this Spooktober episode where we talk about The Ring. A little bit later than most of our VCR kids movies, but definitely very VCR focused and, hit right at that sweet spot. So I think you'll enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it. If you didn't pick it up, our guest today is Katie Black from The Katie Black Show. You can find her on every single podcast app. Just search for The Katie Black Show. That should allow you to find her. And you can also check her out on social media. She's on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at The Katie Black Show. Go figure. So check her out on there. If you follow us on Twitter or Instagram, we just tagged her in a video from a little behind the scenes clip. Now that we're recording on Zoom, I'm able to get more of these, so I'm going to try and put them out a little bit more frequently. So if you're interested more in getting to know us a little bit more, you know, as podcasters, as folks who love dumb movies from the 90s, then you can follow us at The VCR Kids on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you like to follow people. And we want to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the episodes. Let us know what you think of the movie choices. If you have one that you want to suggest, let us know. We're always open to new ideas and new movies. There were definitely a lot that came out around our time period. But, we had a very similar upbringing, the three of us. So if you have something a little bit different, we'd love to check it out and love to dive in. So other than that, enjoy the rest of the episode. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. All right. We finished watching The Ring. It's weird. I can't say just finished because now we all watch at different times, but it's still getting used to this new format here. But what do you guys kind of think overall? Like just yes or no, like, did you like it?
Yes.
Mostly.
That wasn't an option.
I would say yes. I feel
kind of meh about it.
Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts about it. I think one word would just be like, yeah. But so let's go ahead and get into it then. This movie starts with a couple of high school kids talking about how evil TV is, which I told Aaron, like, when it happened, like, that's got to be the thesis of this movie, right? Because, like, no one ever uses a line like that before the characters come on screen. Like, that's always what that means is, like, that's what the director really thinks, and that's what the movie's about, right?
I heard that might not be the case, that, like, he did that as, like, a ploy, like, oh, isn't this what obvious movies do? And then, like, the rest of the plot. Because in the end, she saves her kid by making, like, the copy. Spoiler alert.
Wait, the dangers of television? That's the thesis of this movie?
Yeah, that it rots your brain and kills you.
Oh.
Because, I mean, there's clips throughout, like when she's, there's one point when she's in her apartment or something, or in the guy's office, and she's looking out at the apartment building and everyone's just kind of like brain dead watching TV. Like there was, I did notice a lot of little pieces of that throughout the movie that I never noticed before.
Agreed.
But that was just my interpretation of it, I guess.
My major note for this movie is it's just not scary. It's not scary at all. It's not scary.
Wow.
Sounds like a recap note, not a going through the what happened.
Well, I just want to drive that home. If you're trying to watch this and get spooked, look elsewhere.
Man, we haven't even gotten to like the second scene and Aaron's already just right into it. Jeez.
Not scary.
There's a so basically these kids are one of them watches the tape and like is super spooked out about it, and then the TV keeps turning on, like all like basically the TV's kind of following her, and then she ends up dying.
And turning purple.
Yeah. There was one really weird thing that I noticed, that there was a plate full of cheese on the table in front of the TV. I'm pretty sure it was cheese, different types of cheeses. And it was there in the funeral also.
Jeez, I must not have been watching this as closely as y'all were. Didn't pick up on the cheese.
I had to pick rewind up on the cheese.
Yeah, I didn't.
I just trusted you.
So it turns out the girl that died is the, she's what, the cousin of the other kid, the little kid?
Mm-hmm.
Right. They spend a whole lot of time making her seem unlikable in that first scene for us to then be like, oh no.
What makes you think she was unlikable?
She was just annoying. Like the things she said were dumb. She was like, they like rot your brain with a TV.
I think she was just like a teenage girl. I don't think she was.
I don't know. They're just never, I don't know. It just didn't seem like they were like, really like this character. Like she didn't say anything sympathetic. It was just like dumb comments. And then I went all the way with my boyfriend. So it's like, okay.
So did you feel really good when she was killed?
I just felt nothing.
She did. That explains why you jumped up cheering.
No, I just felt nothing much.
There was we're then introduced to our main characters, Naomi Watts and what?
That's not the character's name. What's the character's name?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
I think Rachel.
Is it? Oh yeah.
Weird kid.
Like, I read a
clearly a troubled kid, like meetings with the teacher about like him drawing people dying and all this stuff, and maybe kind of like hints at him having some kind of like, I don't know, like some vision kind of thing.
I read a synopsis and he's supposed to be a medium. So they're basically doing like a less cute Haley Joel Osment from like that I See Dead People, The Sixth Sense.
I really don't like how it's kind of a trope in like the single mom with the young kid story, in that like the kid's the responsible one and knows where everything is and keeps the schedule and takes care of her. I don't like how she's running around the house like in her underwear asking the kid where her dress is. Like, why does he know where your dress is? Does he have it?
The only reason they included that is so we could see Naomi Watts in her underwear.
Which is fine.
No, it's dumb.
So many strong opinions already. I was just kind of watching the movie at this point. Like, all right.
Well, I just feel strongly about it.
I mean, he was a creepy kid. That's for sure.
I just, I didn't like it. After I read that he was supposed to be a medium, I was like, oh. But I wish they'd kind of gone there a little more, because I don't think that was obvious at all. Like, he could have just been like a creepy little kid that saw a ghost, you know?
I mean, he was drawing his cousin being buried a week before she died.
Yeah, but they never like explain it.
What are you talking about? Literally said, this is her. He's drawing his cousin. Oh, she died, what, 2 days ago? Well, he drew these last week.
Yeah, but they never explain like how. There's just like a lot of nonsense going on that he's around.
Did you guys see Scary Movie 3?
Yes.
Honestly, I was so, I guess I still am, so obsessed with that, that like their parody of the kid and the mom, like now when I went back and watched it, like I was just like kind of laughing because the kid was just like so animated and like made me think of that movie.
Yeah, they just like kept like hitting him out of windows and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because he was just like stand there in the background all creep, and then they'd just be like swat him out the window.
Or just like when she ran in, like right after her, I don't know. Can we do spoiler alerts?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, right after her like baby daddy, like she found him dead, and she came in and she was like, go to your room, and he was like coloring and he like freaked out. Like to me,
yeah, that was like, a really weird shot.
I was just kind of like, it was interesting to like kind of like surprise myself by laughing, but just because of like that scary movie.
Because his intensity level in his eyes is off the charts. Like he was just like, oh.
Yeah. And like before, he'd been through kind of a lot of stuff, like super deadpan. So like that was the thing. Like Samara is going to kill you, like super deadpan, but like, oh God, I have to go to my room now. Oh, I want to tell a fact about this movie. That Samara, the voice of Samara, is the voice of Lilo in, well, like the whole actress, it's Lilo from Lilo and Stitch.
What?
And also for...
Yeah, she talked and Aaron was like, I know that voice.
Yeah, I did, but I had to figure it out. She's also Chihiro from Spirited Away, but in the English dub.
Y'all know that, right?
A lot of people do.
So Naomi Watts, Rachel, her niece is the one who died in the beginning. She's at the funeral. Is it her sister that asks her to kind of look into it?
Yes.
And she's like, you're an investigator. You investigate things. So she's like, okay. And then all these creepy high school kids, led by Adam Brody, tell her all about the tape and all the kids dying.
And one of the other teens is the wife from The Hangover.
Yeah.
Like the girl that he gets married to in the end.
So she kind of like tracks down and finds a bunch of clues and ends up finding the tape at the cabin that they went to. And then she watches it and she gets the phone call. And this is the first time we see it, I think, right? When she's watching it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also the first time that like everyone who watches this sits so close to the TV when they're watching it. Like everyone's like, let me pop this video in. 2 inches from the screen. Sounds great.
And she has to look at the fly very closely. She has to.
I had a really interesting experience watching this with like in the current era, right? Like because part of it was very nostalgic in that like they were using, it was like that nice kind of sweet spot where everyone was still using landlines and like tube TVs, but also that we were getting digital cameras and like that kind of like really unique time when like technology was just starting to ramp up super fast.
Yeah, she did a Google search and there was one result. I'm like, yeah. Wow, that doesn't happen nowadays.
No. Yeah. Oh, that's what I remember. Why they said it wasn't a thing about like the perils of television and technology, because the thing that kills them isn't television, it's a VCR tape. So like really honestly, if you were trying to do a commentary on that, wouldn't you choose like a more modern method, like a DVD or like cable or like something, but like a VCR tape? Because even at that time, like people had them, people used them, but other stuff was coming out at the same time. Like there were DVDs, like, you know what I mean? It was just a little different. So that's why they were saying like, it's this old, they're using this old school thing to kill people. It's like a tape that you passed around. Now we have YouTube.
It was also kind of weird watching it because I think that this movie became such a huge part of the culture, and like kind of like it was in the scary movies and like everyone watched it when we were in high school or whatever, kind of like we talked about in the beginning. And so like, it's weird watching it when like everyone already knows what's going to happen and everyone knows like exactly what the tape is and like all this stuff. Like it was kind of hard for me to put myself in that mind space of like it being a surprise and not knowing what was going to happen, you know? Like I can see that making it a lot more enjoyable.
I kind of forgot the ending of this movie, honestly. I was a little bit surprised. It did not end how I thought it ended.
The Shyamalanian twist.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I had this whole thing in my head. I was like, why do we... Anyways, I was rambling to Renee about like, we should hate this girl. She's killing everyone, and then her spirit's freed, and then we're supposed to love her, but she's a murderer. But no, she just continues being a murderer at the end of the movie. And I'm like,
did Renee watch it?
No, absolutely not. She said this scarred her deeply when she, because she used to be, you know, like dragged to movies at that age in high school.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I would say to Renee, it's not scary. So,
she don't know. Sounds like she was pretty scarred,
right? There's no way.
I think that the villain of this movie is Rachel, because she knows, like she believes what's happening, even before like she finds out all the details. When she like starts seeing clues and starts like really believing that it's happening, she's still going around showing other people and making copies of the tape,
right? Well, I even thought she was whack when she was like, but I guess that's the whole point of like scary movies and like white female roles is like, why are you going into this like person's home and like sitting there just like casually watching inside his home?
Yeah, well, why'd you go in the first place? And then like, why did you go in when there was like, when no one answered the door? Someone answered the door. That doesn't mean go in. That means that they're not home. Right. It's not your house.
Yeah, they make poor choices. The scariest part of this movie to me was when they climbed that rickety old 100-foot ladder to that loft that was like an insanely high distance in that barn. I was like, why are they doing that? Because it just, all of it looked unstable.
Yeah, it scared me when they both went up at the same time. I was like, I don't know if that ladder can hold both of you. I don't know. That scared me.
No, it can't. So
one of the questions that I have is Becca, the friend who was there when the first girl died, did not watch the tape, like just saw that her friend died, right? Mm-hmm. But she's in an insane asylum and they go and visit her, and she apparently knows everything about like Samara and like everything that's happening. Like, how does she know all this? What? I don't know.
Well, I guess like, I mean, yeah, who's to say, but it sounds like she knew all about what was up before, like as she was telling the girl, at the beginning, Katie. Like, it sounds like it sounds like she would has was already like, just like me with like any conspiracy. I don't know. Maybe she like read up on it and then like experienced that it was real. I don't know.
Maybe she knew the whole time and set this whole thing up. And then like she, when she was in the insane asylum, she wasn't actually going crazy. She just dropped the whole pretense of like her fake teenage girl persona. That's why she was annoying. It was a fake.
Yeah, maybe she was like, they didn't invite me on this camping trip. I'm going to slip them the tape.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm mad that I'm single and it was a couple's camping trip.
I'm going to get you. Another thing, too, that like stuck out to me was like, what's up with like, I mean, even though this was like 2002, but like the late 90s and like that time frame and like the fear of like a landline ringing.
Because it was the phone, it was the 7 days call, right?
No, but it just makes me think of like Scream and all those other things of like the telephone ringing.
Right. Well, I mean, when I was really young, when we were all really young, like you didn't know who was calling, right? So there was a little bit of mystery to it.
That's true. Now it's not scary.
Right.
Plus there's also that urban legend of like, you know, the call's coming from inside the house.
Right.
That kind of thing.
An urban legend? Wasn't that from Scream?
No, it was like, well, they reference it in Scream, but it's like an urban legend where like, Jim, shoot, hang on. Dummy got his, okay, sorry. He had his collar stuck in his teeth and he was doing that thing where he's like trying to clean himself and then gets it stuck and then starts thrashing around.
You know, sounds, that thing that everyone.
Sounds horrific.
He gets like the tag stuck in his mouth and then he just like goes like, I don't know.
Something else that you like what you were mentioning, Katie, the her just taking, doing whatever she wants. Like, why did she let that horse out of the trailer?
Yeah, that was so dumb. Or like, why did she even go to it and stay there?
Right. That's what I kept telling my sister. I was like, why is she like egging on this horse when it's like obviously like not cool with her?
Right. And she knows about like all the horses that died. Like, okay, let me just walk up and disturb this innocent creature.
Yeah, that was a tough scene to watch because they're looking over the edge and I guess it got chopped up by the propeller.
Yeah, why didn't they cut the engine off?
You think you would if...
I guess it just happened too fast. But it sounds like...
You know there's got to be an emergency shutoff on those kind of boats.
I don't know. I don't know about it.
Anyway. Something that that really started to bother me after a little bit was I was telling Aaron about this, the Law and Order directing, where like every time they cut to a new scene, they're like in the middle of a conversation and someone's like doing some kind of busy work and like everyone's walking and talking the whole time.
She's a very busy journalist, Jay. That's the only way they can get the point across.
Yeah, there was some awkward dialogue in this movie. Like her boss or supervisor, I don't know who he was. So you're fired. No, I'm not. You're fired. Get away from me. And that was the end of that. And then when the buddy was in the tape room of the psychiatric ward,
yeah,
he's like, you better not steal anything. And that was an awkward exchange. I didn't really care for that.
Mm-hmm. Or when he tricked them into going into the other record room. He like they were like so smooth because he was like, oh, I've been here before looking upstairs. And the guy was like, nice try. It's downstairs, pal. You know, like, oh, what a sneaky trick. Like, the chances of him actually answering that affirmatively to give you the clue is like 1 in 20. You know what I mean?
I honestly, like, I felt like I watched it when it came out, and I swear, I don't know if I watched it again. So when I rewatched it, like, obviously I knew the vibe of the whole movie, but there were some parts that like I had just like completely forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the second time that I rewatched it. Like, not, I didn't watch it twice for this podcast, but when, like, I saw it when I was younger, and then I think I watched it again in college or something like that. And I remember, like, when I was younger, being so, like, being so impacted by just like the idea of like the ring, the tape, and the phone call, and all that stuff. Like, I didn't even remember her going to the island and like investigating and talking to the family. And like this time, I didn't really remember kind of like what you mentioned, Richard, that little twist at the end of like, you think it's done and it's not done.
Mm-hmm.
I was really disappointed that the father, Brian Cox, he was in the movie like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell? He was like my favorite part of the movie, remembering it as a kid, and he's barely in it.
Yeah. He just takes a nice little swing at her face and then. And then
bathtub.
Posts himself in a bathtub.
which is horrifying. Bathtubs are my favorite thing. And to see that, truly spooky.
I just don't think you have much to worry about unless you take 18 toasters and 12 VCRs into the bathroom. And then you stick a horse bit. Like, honest to God, how did he get all of that in there and then intentionally kill himself? Like,
yeah, can't you do that with one hairdryer?
Yeah, I feel like that would have happened like 3 hours ago when he tried to take the first.
He like, I keep adding something every single time and it's not sticking.
Yeah, like, what? I just don't get it.
It was a bit overkill.
This movie. That's why I said it's not scary. Okay, I'm sorry.
You done?
Yeah. Oh, he's just looking at me super confused. Yeah.
It was a really funny scene, everybody. Really funny.
So funny.
I don't know. I think that there was enough, like, I feel like this movie struck a really good balance of having enough things that made you feel like uncomfortable without like being too gross. You know what I mean? Like, that horse scene on the boat was like incredibly uncomfortable. And like some of the clips in the videotape make you just like feel really, really uncomfortable. But that doesn't go on for the whole movie. I don't know.
The rest of the movie's pretty boring.
Aaron. I thought that it was a lot. I thought that it was well made. It did. Some of the direction did feel a little bit hokey, but I think that it was an interesting idea. And I know it's not an original concept. It makes me really want to go back and watch the Japanese movie now and kind of see like how much is actually from that or if they really changed much at all.
I watched a trailer for it.
So you didn't see it?
No, okay. But I recognized like all of it.
Apparently, this movie was about 20 minutes longer. Yeah. And apparently, it starts and ends with, do y'all know the actor Chris Cooper, who was in like American Beauty and Adaptation? If you saw a picture of him, you'd recognize him.
I know American Beauty. Is he the neighbor?
He's like the Nazi collecting father.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that guy.
So apparently, he was in this movie. He started it. She was investigating him as like a child murderer and rapist. And then at the end of the movie, you know how she has to give the tape to someone? He's the person. So that's how they that's how she gives off the tape. But apparently, like the screenings of it or whatever, the test screenings, they were like, we want to see more of Chris Cooper. Why did he just disappear and then just reappear at the end? So
yeah, it could have been cool if he had something to do with making Samara so evil or something.
Yeah.
That could have been interesting. But I guess that's not exactly the original plot, is it?
I kind of want to say it was a little scary for me, I'll admit. I know Erin has made it very clear that she thought this was the most boring movie ever made. But like, I thought it was pretty atmospheric. I was getting a little tired of everything being kind of a pale green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that got a little annoying. I was like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Like the whole movie.
I can definitely see how it would be scary if it was your first time experiencing it. You know, like I said, like it's just so much a part of the, like the zeitgeist now that you know what's going to happen. But I think if it was like watching it back in like 2000, whatever, when it came out, I can definitely see it having an effect. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And one more factoid, Ring 2 was directed by the guy who did the original Ring, the Japanese director.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I remember thinking that was terrible. But
well, apparently, according to Rotten Tomatoes, Rings, not so good.
Is it called Rings?
Oh, yeah.
The Ring 2 is called Rings.
No. That's the third movie is called Rings.
Oh, a lot of people on the internet were saying The Ring 2 is actually better. Let me just check that.
People.
Yeah, because
I think the scariest part of this whole movie was that guy who owned the cabins in the woods trying to do magic. Yeah. It was so weird, so creepy.
Oh no, it earned 20% on Rotten Tomatoes. There's no way.
There's a few Hitchcock references in this movie, by the way. When she was looking out over the different whatever people living their lives, when y'all said that like this is showing television ruts. So it's voyeuristic and there's a guy who had a cast on his leg, so that's Rear Window. But then later on in that, I don't know if it was later on, I don't know the when she was in the cabin, he was showing the magic tricks and all the tapes. One of them was Family Plot, which was Hitchcock's last film. So there's a few little Hitchcock things in there.
I thought you were going to say just that the magic guy was like kind of Norman Batesy.
Oh,
yeah.
100%. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
You didn't see the skeleton in a dress behind him? You guys didn't catch that little
detail? Well, he had the movie in the thing. So who knows?
He didn't. He said people just leave him there all the time.
That's what he said, Jay.
Okay.
You're too trusting.
All right. Do you guys think that this movie holds up?
I think
you started with that, didn't you, Jay?
I just said, did you like it? And everyone said, meh.
Like... So I had to Google, like, why was this movie so popular? And it basically kind of came out in this horror dead zone where there just wasn't that much happening. And it actually had a decent plot. It was an interesting concept. So it became, like, crazy popular just for the simple fact that the plot was intriguing and it was scary. People thought it was so scary. And they just liked it. And I think like the other movies it referenced as like kind of close to this were The Others, which is even less scary than this. And then The Sixth Sense. So people were just kind of, I mean, this is like what you got essentially. But I think since this, we've had so many other really good horror movies with really good plots. Like, it's kind of having a moment. There are so many just interesting films that are horror movies, like The Witch or Hereditary or Midsommar or obviously like Get Out and Us. So there's a lot better stuff now.
What was that one? How did you Midsommar?
Yeah, Midsommar. That's how you say it.
I think for me, it's really hard to say whether or not this is like a good movie. Cause like, I feel like now watching it now, like I kind of already mentioned, like, I don't think it holds the same weight because it was such a big part of culture that like, I think what would have made it scary and what would have made it like edge of your seat is the mystery of it. Cause it is kind of like an investigation story and it is like unraveling clues and kind of following her along this journey. And I think if it was your first time watching it and you had like no idea about what was going on, then that kind of mystery and that kind of suspense would definitely hold up. But I just think that like with how big it was and how kind of similar to The Sixth Sense in that like everyone knows the twist in The Sixth Sense now. So like, what's the point in watching it? Like, I think that that makes it lose a lot of that momentum and lose a lot of that suspense. And so like, I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it's got little like weird things and quirks about it, but I think it was well made and it's interesting. I just don't think it's hard to like recapture that feeling that I got when I was younger. And I think that like, if someone watching it blind coming into it cold, I think that they would, that would still hold up. What about Richard, Katie? What do you guys think?
I Renee brought this to my attention because she was just going through all these movies she saw that traumatized her. These friends tortured her. Another movie that came out in 2002 was The Mothman Prophecies with Richard Gere. I don't know if y'all ever saw that movie, but it seemed like there were a few movies at that time that were like supernatural mystery that were also kind of horror. Because I don't know if 100% this was a horror movie. I mean, it was, but I mean, like there's more supernatural elements. There was a mystery you had to kind of figure out. So in that sense, cause I think in the 90s, I was looking up some of the like later 90s movies. I think it was like harking back to a lot of slasher films and, I don't know. I think this kind of does hold up. I think it's spooky enough. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm like mixed because like I said, I agree with Jay and Richard just because it's hard to like say, does it hold up? Because it's still creepy. And then there's been such a time gap where you literally forget like huge chunks of the story. But I mean, maybe I'm embarrassed to admit, but like, yeah, it was creepy. It was still, obviously it wasn't that like shock value. It's almost like, maybe this is a bad comparison, but like eating a chocolate chip cookie now, even though it's like really good, it's still not as good like when you like first had it as a kid.
Yeah.
I beg to differ.
I mean, it's still awesome, but it's not like what it was. But like, I mean, not to be like actor critic, but like I feel like anyone could have played the Naomi character. I was like, I could have done that.
Yeah.
Is that like shady? I don't know. I just felt like it was a character where like anyone could have done that. I don't know.
Yeah, she didn't like, I don't know. It just felt like she was pretty consistent the whole movie. Like her emotional level was like the same in the beginning as it pretty much was at the bottom of the well. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like, okay, like she walks into her son's kindergarten meeting, like super stressed out, swearing. And then calmly is just like calmly chilling in the bottom of a well that you've been shoved down. So,
I mean, I don't know if you guys like criticize like people's like acting skills, but I don't know. I guess I feel like I keep talking about Scream, but like that opening scene with Drew Barrymore, like no one else could have played that scene. Where I feel like when I look at this, like I feel like there could have. Like Cher could have played it. I could have played it. I don't know.
Cher.
See, I thought the baby daddy was Noah. I thought he was a little whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Fine.
He was very attractive.
There's a
Let's
really
remake cheesy... the ring and cast Cher now as Rachel.
Yes. There was a really cheesy line of dialogue where she was like, let's just cut to the chase where I leave disappointed because I just wish you'll grow up or something. And I was like, okay.
Well, it's just like, that was uncalled for. You just like freaked out on him because like his coworker, that's a girl, walked in.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, obviously it's way deeper than that, but.
I think the best acting in the movie is when you think the movie's over and she's like, I let her out. And the kid's like, what the hell did you just do? You're an idiot. Like, I loved that moment because he was wide-eyed. He was like, what have you done, Mom?
Yeah, I think her stasis through most of the movie could have worked if she just lost it there. You know, if she just like flipped out.
Y'all are tripping. I thought she did a great job.
She was like the underwear.
No, she was like the everyman. Like, the fact that you think that you could do it means that like she did a good job. Like, you're supposed to identify with her and like go through those emotional beats.
Way to look at it.
She did scream when she noticed her son was watching the movie.
That was the biggest bit.
That was convincing.
And when she saw her baby daddy with his face melted.
Agreed.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Which they didn't show us that. They could have.
They did. They did a little flash to it at one point.
Oh, I didn't see. I wanted to see it. I was like, what does he look like all purple?
You creep.
I want to reemphasize one thing that I've mentioned in other movies, though, about horror. Like, anything that's not R-rated for me, I'm still pretty pretentious. Because I think part of the editing process of this movie, they had to get rid of some of the goriest stuff to get it down to a PG-13.
Shame.
And see, that just disappoints the hell out of me.
But they did make probably a lot more money.
I don't care about that. I didn't make any money off of it.
I think that's interesting that you say that. Because to me, like, I really don't like gory horror movies. Like, I much prefer the... Like, to me, I love, like, the Conjuring movies and, like, that kind of thing where there's not a lot of blood, but it's more, like, scary, I guess, like, supernatural stuff. So I think that's maybe why, like, I felt it was a little bit more spooky than, like, Aaron and maybe you, I guess.
I think it has its time and place. I don't mind it.
Well, I think not even gore, but like The Omen. I think the original Omen, I might be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure it's rated R and there's not a lot of gore in that. It's just like a child killer. That's the Antichrist. There's just too much messed up stuff going on for that to be a PG-13 movie.
Yeah, that's true. But like, how can I say like, oh, I don't like gore and horror if I'm like, very pleased with myself watching Quentin Tarantino movies, you know? It's like, okay. You know,
well, but Quentin Tarantino's gore is like over the top. Like, I'm not like, there are gory movies like what's the one with the dude with the chainsaw, not Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but
that is the one.
No, the zombie one.
Oh.
You're talking about like Army of Darkness?
Or, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like stuff like that where it's like goofy gore, or like over the top gore. Like, sure, yeah, I get that. I'm talking more about like I hate the Saw movies and like stuff like that where it's like we just want to disturb you from like things going into skin and bones breaking and that kind of thing. Oh, like that kind
yeah,
of
I don't like that.
Oh, well. We'll agree to disagree on that one.
That's Richard. Richard watches that before he goes to sleep at night.
It satisfies his bloodlust.
Jesus. I got to counterweight because Renee watches none of it. So there's got to be a balance.
To satisfy your bloodlust.
Well, we watched this on Amazon, I think, right, Aaron? Is that where you guys watched it?
Yes, it's for free.
So if you have the Amazon video app, check it out on there if you want to get in that spooky October mood. If you haven't noticed, we're doing all scary movies for October. Next one we're doing, I think, we're doing Blair Witch Project next, right? Can we decide on that?
I don't know.
Maybe. I'm leaning towards it. Maybe it'll be a surprise. Okay.
Might be Blair Witch Project. Might be something else. We'll let you know. When you hear the next episode. And we also have done this a couple of years in a row, so I would like to recommend the Child's Play episode. that was great from, I believe, last year.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. What about you, Katie? You got some spooky stuff coming up on your show, right?
I do. So I'm having my first like series. So the 21st, 28th, and 31st, I've talked to some people about the unexplained, and Erin is one of them.
Yes. Wow. We teased that I had a story before.
Like nanny, nanny, boo, boo.
Yeah, so now you can listen to it. Well, not yet, but soon.
And how can people find your show and find out more about you?
Google, baby. So I'm on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you find podcasts.
And it's the Katie Black Show. Check it out. Cool. Well, thank you for coming on, and thanks for making us watch this movie. And
thanks for having me. It's been fun.
We'll talk to all y'all next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Shoulder.
Cats.
Radio.
Ah! .com.